Bo has,
and now the end is near.
Bo.
Felger and Mass,
98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Well, he traded Parcells, didn't he?
It's different, though. I mean, this is the greatest of all time.
He didn't want Parcells there anymore, anyhow. So, I mean, yeah, it's totally different. I talked to somebody yesterday who, if anything, you could say that he would err on the side of the Giants in this, in saying what he thinks the compensation should be. And he told me 3 number 1 picks. Weesh. And I said, come on. And he said, no. He said, Robert Kraft didn't get to be a billionaire. And I wrote this column this morning. It's online now. He said, Robert Kraft didn't get to be a billionaire and build the best organization in the NFL, and he's just going to lay over and say, okay, you want him, take him. He goes, it's 3 number 1 picks. Now, I think that's a little excessive, despite, you know, everything Bill's accomplished. And it's only excessive in my mind because he's 65 years old, and, you know, even if he coaches another 5 or 6 years, that's still a lot to give up for a short period of time. But if you give up that much and he produces one Super Bowl championship in that period of time, then it's worth it.
Let me poll the room as we've polled the people of Boston. Murray, would you trade Bill Belichick to the Giants for 3 first-round picks?
I'd do that tonight.
Mass, yeah. Would you trade Belichick to the Giants for 3 first-round picks?
Not unless Belichick wanted out. You follow me?
Right.
In other words, if Belichick's like, what are you talking about? What do you want to trade me for?
Okay,
I want to stay here. I want to draft the next guy.
No. Okay, so but the only way this is happening is if he wants to.
Okay, then yes. Yeah, I mean, if it gets to that point and Belichick's pissed off about the Garoppolo thing, trade him, be done with it, it's over.
He's 65. Even if he stays here, you know, and they don't really have a succession plan, what are you going to get? Maybe 5 more years? You can rebuild with 3 number 1 picks, and Brady will be done in a couple of years. You trade him.
I hemmed and hawed on this yesterday, but the more I think of it, I would do it in a heartbeat. I would. And that's fully acknowledging you're just trading the best coach of all time, but the best coach of all time is only going to coach. I mean, what's the max? 5 years? 3 to 5 years? Max, he's going to be 66 in April. Okay, so what's the max you're going to get out of that? You've already established yourself as the greatest team in the history of the sport. It's not like you have anything left to accomplish. At some point, you have to start thinking about resetting and trying to be as good as they can be for the next generation and the next iteration of this. And they just blew the chance to do it by either trading Brady and getting a ton of picks or maximizing Garoppolo and at least getting a single first, and for whatever reason, Bill didn't do that. So you just blew it on the quarterback. Now you have a chance with the coach. If next year you bring back the exact same team with Tom Brady and you have Josh McDaniels as your head coach, are you contending for the championship?
Yep.
100%. 100% you're contending. You're not as good and you're not as likely to win it, for sure. But you're still better than any team in the division. You're still going to be home the divisional round. You're still going to be in the AFC title game pretty much automatically, I think. I mean, really. And I'm not trying to pretend that Josh is anywhere close to Bill, but you're still a representative team, and now if you do something like that with the Giants are sitting with the number 2 pick in the draft. Now you draft your Rosen, you draft your Darnold, you draft that quarterback, and now you've replaced Jimmy with someone potentially better, and you've reset the coach, which you have to do here anyway in the next 3 to 5 years. Yeah, and I don't know why you run scared from that. And just the whole, you have to rip the Band-Aid eventually. You have to rip the Band-Aid off, and are they just going to totally wait for the, I said this yesterday, just get old? Just take it down to the nub, the old Celtics? The old big three of the Celtics? And then you're starting over with nothing? You're starting over with no jump start. You're drafting low because that team was still good. You don't have any extra assets. If you had traded Brady or traded Garoppolo properly, or trade Belichick now you got real capital to fuel your rebuild. If you just let him get old and retire, you got nothing. And so, I don't know, I would do it.
Okay, so
we polled the people of Boston on Jimmy Stewart's Twitter. I am James Stewart on Twitter, the Felger and Mazz Twitter page as well. At last check, Jimmy walked away, of course, just as I want to go to him. It came in like 65% to 35%. Yeah, people are against that idea of getting a couple first round picks. You know, the John Gruden package was 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and $9 million when Gruden went from Oakland to Tampa in 2002. So that's how we started it yesterday. Now Gary Myers has 3 first-round picks. Would you do that? 65% of you say no. I think it's
66 to 34. That's insane.
What, is that insane? Or are we insane? Who's insane?
No. Listen, if it's reached the point where Belichick is disgruntled, there's a bunch of things to sort of look at, some retrospectively and some going forward. If he's disgruntled and he's trading away Jimmy Garoppolo for something less than what Garoppolo should be worth just to spite the owner or prove a point, well, then he's not serving your franchise anymore. So he doesn't want to be here. If he doesn't want to be here, see you later. Like, if Bill Belichick is amenable to going to the Giants, then get his ass out of here. If he's amenable to it at all, it means he's not fully invested in the job.
So that's the second piece of the story as Maz is talking about, or my rationale, which is just the more I think of it, the more egregious the Garoppolo thing was. You know, Maz thinks it's egregious because they traded the wrong guy, but so that's another topic. I'm talking about once the owner ordered Belichick to trade the guy, which I think happened.
You lost the coach, too.
Well, so you may have lost the coach. I don't know about that, but what I do know is once it was determined this is what the organization is doing, Bill, it's your job to go get the best return and to maximize that asset. This may not be your decision. This may not be your desire. But now it's your job to do what the organization wishes and get the most you can from that asset. And he doesn't even take the call from Cleveland. He doesn't even shop the pick around the league. He doesn't even look to see what else is out there. Again, Cleveland would have given you their second first-round pick, which came from Houston, which now sits at number 4 overall. And you wouldn't even pick up the phone? That is a gross dereliction of duty. Like, that is egregious, the more I think of that. And so, again, as Matt sort of pointed, if that's the way it's going to be, then sort of, why not sell high and fuel your rebuild? And fuel your, not even a rebuild. Try and make it so there is no rebuild. So you use that those picks and you get your quarterback, and while Brady's, you know, selling this and that and playing out the last couple of years, you're developing the next guy with Josh still here. And you hit the ground running from Brady to the next guy who's a high pick and a stud. I don't know. I don't think that that's stupid.
Okay, so let me ask you another question. Why do we all think that Josh McDaniels will be good?
I don't.
But I mean, don't you think we sort of talk about him that way?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the tone is that, well, so you look, know, you keep Josh. How do we know Josh is going to be any good?
Because I think him and Brady working together offensively, you're going to be good on offense. So that I think that.
Yeah, there really wouldn't be much upheaval.
Yeah, so, and I think that there'd be, you know, you're in the same playbook, you're in the same system, you're in the same language, same everything. And so I think that's important. And then over time, if Josh sucks, it'll come out. But I think in the next couple of years, I think you're going to, you know, I think he's George Seifert, who won a couple of championships. I don't think George Seifert was a great coach either. He just kept that program going and kept that system going.
Okay, but a week ago, didn't we say that if Josh McDaniels were to leave, would the offense look any different next year?
It wouldn't, as long as Brady and Belichick are here. If you're telling me Bill and Josh is gone and now it starts over both, I don't think you'd get the same guarantee.
So all I'm saying is this. I'm not convinced Josh McDaniels can draft and develop the next guy.
I'm not either.
I have no idea if he can do it. I'd rather have Belichick. You asked this question earlier. I'd rather have Belichick picking at 40 than McDaniels picking in the top 5, at least in this draft.
McDaniels, Caserio.
Same. I still want Bill.
I don't know about that.
To me, the reason to keep Bill, if you are Kraft, and assuming Bill wants to be here, is because Bill has a better chance than anybody of drafting and developing the next guy.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
If, and I'm just, I qualify everything with if Bill wants out, then Robert can't keep him.
Right.
You can't have a coach there who doesn't want to be there.
Right.
And that conference call yesterday shed absolutely no light on what Bill is really thinking. Because I heard the clip that you played, and then the next question from the same writer, and the guy was from New Jersey who asked the question, was, can you say definitely that you intend to return? And he had another one of those long pauses and said with, like, no conviction in his voice, absolutely. So everybody's writing, Bill says he's absolutely going to be back, but if later in your show you continue the tape on that and you listen to that answer, you wouldn't say that. He said it kind of sounded like I don't want to say half-hearted, but it wasn't like really emphatic.
Hey, Bill, there was a report in the New York Daily News this weekend that you would have some interest in coaching the Giants. I just want to see if there's any truth to that.
Right now my interest is trying to do the best I can for our football team to get ready for Saturday night against Tennessee. That's where my total focus is.
I mean, is your intention definitely to be back with the Patriots next season?
Absolutely.
That was convincing. Oh, okay, never mind. I'll stop asking the question. Like, seriously, you know, the pause is on top of it. Like, let me see how I can answer this, a-hole. I'm just focused on Tennessee right now. That's my total focus. Is your intention to be totally back on the sideline for the Patriots next season? Absolutely.
There again, for the television audience, that you're adding in the effect of, who the hell knows,
with
the body language.
Yeah,
that's very good, man.
Whatever you want, buddy. You just tell yourself whatever you have to do to write the story. Absolutely. Absolutely, I'll be back. What a dink. A total dink. Oh, it's great.
Rocco and Saugus, what do you think?
Hey, what's up? Listen, first, I just want to make a, like, didn't you said about Bill losing his mind. Didn't he make a quote about Julio Jones saying that he wasn't worth those draft picks or wasn't worth trading for?
He told Pioli or whoever, no,
Dimitrov
years ago that you should draft Jonathan Baldwin. He'll be just as good as Julio Jones.
Uh-huh. Same player.
So you don't think he's losing his mind in that one, buddy? But, okay, first of all, I think the guy, personally, I think the guy's read the Book of Art of War too many times. I think he should go. I think I would make that trade, get all those draft picks, keep, you know, Brady for 4 years. I think we can get the same results. I mean, you talk about George Seifert. It's all about the quarterback. I mean, listen, George Seifert, didn't he go to, like, Carolina?
Yeah.
For, like, a couple of years? Or what happened over there?
Nothing. Nothing. But you're acting like Belichick sucks. Like, don't, I'm not doing that. He's the greatest of all time, and he's still the best. He's the best coach in the league by a measure of 10. Like, it's Bill Belichick, and second place is not even worth talking about. So, I'm not doing that thing. I'm just telling you, he's 65 going on 66, and when it's time to reset, you'd like a little bit of gas, a little bit of fuel to reset with, so you're not starting over from scratch and taking steps back. And if you weren't going to trade Brady or trade Garoppolo for the proper return, then how are you going to build assets with which to hit the ground running when you transition? So it should have been at the quarterback position. It should have been Brady or it should have been Garoppolo for a much better haul than you got. But for some reason, again, in a related story, Bill didn't want to maximize the asset. So that's a whole nother story. But it's got to come somewhere. You don't want to be the Celtics in 1991 or the Miami Dolphins when Dan Marino retired and Shula moved. Like Miami's still searching for it.
I mean, if they had kept Garoppolo, they wouldn't have had to trade Brady for a haul.
This is true.
I mean, look, I how I feel about the decision.
They could have done both. They could have traded Brady for a haul and had Garoppolo, and now you're... And if Belichick's still here and he's grooming John, like, it's just, you wouldn't have had to do anything else.
All they had to do was keep Garoppolo. David, that's all they had to do.
Dave in the car, what do you got?
And that's basically what I want to tie into. I mean, we're saying that the trade was so so colossally egregious, which I agree with, is that the only thing to me that really would make any sense is that it was mandated to him. But they, you know, he was basically forced to, you know, trade him. So he said, oh, fine, you're going to make me trade him? So whatever, I'll just call up the San Francisco, the only ones I'm going to call, and take whatever they'll give me, and that's it. So to me, I think there is some truth in lying that. And then, you know, with him saying, oh, no, yeah, well, I want to be here. And, you know, we did the best we could, and we had tried to hold on to him as long as we could, and we got that second round pick. But, I mean, that's just a joke. And especially since he doesn't call the Browns nothing. He doesn't do anything else. He just basically calls them up and says, hey, we got Garoppolo here. You want to give us a second round pick? Sure, we'll take it.
It's insane, Dave. It's insane. Not only did he not call the Browns, he didn't have to go through the trouble of calling the Browns. They called him on the 28th. They called him 2 days before the trade deadline. He said, nope. You know, we don't even need to talk. I don't even need to hear what you're going to say because we're not. Nothing's happened. Windows closed. And then 2 days later, he ships him to Garoppolo for a second round pick. Doesn't call anyone else. I mean, it's just. Like, that is, like I said, that is
negligent.
Insubordinate? Negligent? Thank you. Better word. Negligent.
Yeah, it is. It's negligent. There's no question about it.
And I don't want to hear, but he didn't want to trade him in the conference. Is Garoppolo that? I don't care how good Garoppolo could be the greatest quarterback ever. The greatest quarterback, Tom Brady could go to, if Tom Brady were on the Cleveland Browns right now, what would the Cleveland Browns be?
9-7.
Could he get him to be any better than 9-7?
Probably not.
No way. That team is nothing. That's a pit. It's a pit of nothing. And so I don't want to hear that you're afraid to trade him in the AFC. That's nonsense. That Cleveland team's a million miles away from being you. At least to the point to get their offer to then go to Shanahan and say, look, Cleveland's offering us their first or their second first-round pick from Houston. You've got to be better than your second. Like, at least do that.
And he didn't even do that, Maz.
Oh, yeah, no. There's no question about it. By the time he got to that stage, he was like, all right, fine, you're going to back me in a corner? Here's what we'll do. So, again, I don't know whether he did it out of spite, whether he did it because out of his own interest in that he wants Garoppolo to be in an environment where he can succeed, and that makes Bill look better, see, because I didn't want to give this guy up. But I'll tell you, at the end of the day, what I believe is that Bill Belichick wanted to keep Garoppolo. He felt his hand was forced, and he got pissed off.
Okay, John's in Maine. Do we want to take the callers from Maine? It's always very
just
sketchy.
Keep your finger on the trigger.
John, go ahead.
Oh, come on. I'm not like everyone else from Maine. But seriously, you posed the question a while ago about which would I rather have, a sixth championship or
10 more years.
Be in contention for the next 10 or 15. I'm not greedy, but can I have both?
Yeah, no, that's the idea. Right, that's he wasn't that bad. But that's the idea. That's what the Niners did. The Niners had both. The Niners won in Bill Walsh's last year, and they won, and then they made the transition, and they kept winning, and then they won a championship, and the Niners did it. It's got to be the model. But they didn't let the guy that they wanted to give the head coaching job to away. They didn't let Seifert get away. They didn't let Montana go until it was, you know, they let Montana go.
Right,
when it was
they
too
didn't
late.
Let Steve Young
they
go.
They didn't let Steve Young go is what I mean, right. They didn't let Steve Young go.
And in fact, I would tell you in a lot of ways, this is worse because Garoppolo's younger on top of it. Then how old was Young when he finally took over?
31.
He was in his 30s,
yes,
right? He was in his 30s. This kid was 26. You had 10 years, for crying out loud. 10. You had it. They had it lined up, and they didn't keep the guy.
Bill in Weymouth, hi.
Hey, guys, thanks. Hey, it seems to me that there's a huge fixation about Garoppolo. I get it. He's winning. He's savvy. I question the teams that he beat. You guys say that the NFL have crappy teams in it anyway. But I truly don't think that we're never going to know the reason. And isn't that very similar to all Bill Belichick's trades? We don't get to know his reasoning.
Hey, Bill, before you go on, when you say, I'm not impressed by the list of teams Garoppolo is, and listen, you're right. Okay? He hasn't beaten the greatest teams in the world. It's really irrelevant, because the only question that matters is, did Bill Belichick want to keep him?
Well, what I think is relevant and it's not really talked about enough is that we are spoiled New England fans and we're panicking. In what year did you see Brady on his behind the whole season? He's getting mangled.
Okay, I'm not panicking. I mean, you're going to the Super Bowl this year. You probably will win it. Again, I'm talking about blowing an asset. I don't think it's a panic or an overreaction to say that Bill did not do what was in the best interest of the football team with the Garoppolo trade.
He definitely did not.
That he was negligent. I don't think that's an overstatement. He didn't shop the player and maximize the value. And that's what happened. I mean, that's just what happened. So I find that egregious. Yes, I find that egregious. I'm not panicking about your team. Your team's excellent, and they're going to be right there.
Okay, so let's say that Kraft mandated the trade. Okay, and again,
however he did it, he did it.
Right. Was he doing what's in the best interest of the team?
In his mind, at least. Right? I mean, there's no way you can justify not shopping Garoppolo and saying that's in the best interest of the team. Kraft just said, I'm better off with Brady than Garoppolo. I think he might be wrong, but that's in the what he felt was in the best interest of the team. There's no way Bill could even say that what I did was in the best interest of the team.
Okay, so again, best interest of the football team or the best interest of the Krafts?
Now you're confusing me. I don't. What's your point?
How is forcing Belichick to trade Garoppolo in the best interest of the football team?
Long term, it's not.
Well, but again, if you think Tom Brady's...
I just think the Krafts also had an emotional investment. It's invested in Brady.
Okay, so fine. I think that's fair.
So if Belichick had an emotional investment in Garoppolo and football investment in Garoppolo, I don't think it's wrong to say the Krafts had the same thing in Brady. That's all. Now, look, if you're asking me, is Belichick's transgression more severe? Absolutely. No two ways about it. How do you put that guy on the market to one team with one call?
I mean, all I'm telling you is Robert Kraft could give you a list of 10 reasons why it was in the interest of his football team to keep Tom Brady. He can give you a long list. Belichick can't give me one reason why it was in the best interest of the team to not at least shop the player and maximize the asset. There's no explanation for that. There isn't, unless someone can come up with one. I don't have one. So, again, three firsts. You want three firsts or two firsts and 2 seconds, Murray? And then $9 million, the Gruden package.
Yeah, either way. Either of those packages.
I agree. Buy the package. Oh, give me this Landon Collins quote real quick. You know,
you can take the cash and shove it, by the way. I know, but
Stu keeps bringing it up, so whatever. We'll take the money.
I got it right here.
Listen to this. You want to hear a loser? How about, as nonsensical as it is for us talking about Bill Belichick going to the Giants or trading him to the Giants, like as goofy as that is, you know what's even goofier? There's Giants players who don't want him. There's Giants players who don't want the winning that comes along with Bill Belichick. I give you Landon Collins, safety.
Arguably their best player.
Yeah, here's the quote. The way he runs his organization, I've been through that process. I don't like it, said Collins. referring to his time under Nick Saban at Alabama.
Alabama guy, okay.
It's too strict. He's a great winner. He's a great coach. I don't know if it's what the organization really wants. I talked to guys who played for his team. They love winning, but at the same time, they don't want to be on the team. End quote. That is Landon Collins talking about the idea of bringing Bill Belichick to the Giants.
You loser.
So if this trade goes through, who do you think is going to be the first guy to go?
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Here's Chris in Rockland. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, haven't we already gone through this with this power struggle with Bill Parcells back in the day with Terry Glenn? He didn't want Terry Glenn, and ownership stepped in. And I believe there was something about she didn't practice today, we'll see about tomorrow, and that kind of thing. Hasn't this power struggle actually already gone through?
Yeah, so?
And is this turning into kind of like a Jerry Jones circus here? All of a sudden, when Jimmy Johnson was running that show, you saw Jerry Jones. Every second of that contract, it looked like his head was going to blow off his body.
That's true.
It killed him to relinquish that power. You know what I mean? And why is Brady on a different realm of the Patriot way, a year early than a year late? Look at Vince Wilfork, ripped his name tag right off the locker. But they ended up working that out. He got the 1 more year, ended up in Houston for a couple of years.
Right, well, Chris, I mean, wouldn't it be the ultimate statement of the Patriot way to trade Tom Brady? Like, wouldn't that be the ultimate affirmation of their philosophy and their program?
Yes, this is what I was saying to you last week, that you have this, you shove it down people, and I say shove it, the Patriot fans love to shove this down people's throats. Every time, Danny from Quincy calls me and airs me out because I'm mad about Logan Mankins going. They jam it down your throat. Patriot way. This is how they do it. They let them go 1 year too early instead of 1 year too late. Then it gets to the most important position on the field, and they lock up, and they can't pull the trigger.
And so now it's,
how do you explain that?
Yeah, right, they gagged on it. Well, the owner got sentimental. The owner broke his philosophy. And the thing you just have to keep in mind is Brady's not washed up. He's still the best quarterback in the league. That's just, so it's not an easy call, but they didn't stick to their guns. And now you have to wonder, and this came out today, and we spent no time on it because, frankly, I don't give two poops about it. But there's a Brady documentary now on...
It's going to be on Facebook at the end of the month. It's a series.
Okay, so a Brady, like the Book of Isaiah kind of thing.
Correct.
Right?
But, so this is the thing Francesca was talking about, right? The Brady TV show. Oh, you didn't hear about this?
No, I didn't even know.
Go ahead, yeah.
Anyway, there were rumblings about it?
Yeah, apparently there were. I didn't hear them, but Francesca made a reference to it a few days ago. And this clearly is what he's talking about, that there's a Brady, quote-unquote, TV show.
Why is Brady playing? Why is Brady playing to these 43, 44, 45? Why is he playing?
Because it helps his brand. This is
I do believe that he loves football and loves to compete. But I think at this stage... if he can continue to pump it out here, then he now has an entire career ahead of him of being able to market how I, preserved my career.
Is he playing to set up his career?
Good question.
Oh, it feels part of it. Yeah, definitely.
This is part of what I was saying to you yesterday about it. Doesn't feel like he's not entirely focused on the football anymore?
Oh, not like he used to be. You can't even argue that.
So this is what I'm getting at. Maybe Belichick looks at this and goes, why is this guy still in it?
Well, it still doesn't matter because he's still the best. Like, it doesn't mean that the marketing stuff is cut into his ability. He's still the best. But I ask you, why is he playing? To prove that he's the best? He already did that. To win championships? He's already won more than anyone's ever won.
No, so he can be a walking billboard for the brand.
So is he playing so he can do the show, so he can promote the brand? And that's why he's playing.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I think that's a big part of it.
Not wholly, but it's definitely a part.
Yeah, I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's 100%. I mean, the football still matters to him, I think. But again,
is the football just a vehicle though now for what he really wants?
So if you were to ask me percentages, you know, at one point I would have said it's 99% football. Now I might be closer to 50-50.
I mean, you just look at it. I mean, he's serious, man, about this TB12 brand and growing it and being global, and it, you know, like, he's obviously.
So I don't know who said this the other day, and for all I know, I might even be stealing it from the airwaves in general.
So is he playing football just for the benefit of TB12 now?
Maybe. Remember he went out to Michigan on signing day? Remember that?
Yeah.
Maybe the whole thing is, you know, let's put a TB12 Institute on right by Ann Arbor here. You got all kinds of, I mean, perfect place for him. Mm-hmm. Right? He's an alum. He's got as many connections to Michigan in some ways as he does to the Patriots. So maybe there's a wink, wink, nod, nod there. Maybe there's another one in L.A. Maybe, you know, he's going to want to open these things all over the place. Like, you know, to me, I think that it's a big part of it now. I think Brady is interested in promoting Brady, and that this is part of why he's losing Belichick.
Yes, and why Belichick, again, in that Borges column, a Belichick associate told Borges a couple of years ago that Tom Brady's going to be a problem at the end. And this is what I think Bill would qualify as a problem. Entitled, bigger than the team, you know, more, you know, I can't believe I'm not even going to say this about Brady, but along the lines of love things more than football, is interested in things more than football. I don't think Brady's there yet, but I mean, the whole TB12 thing is, I'll just put it to you like this. The TB12 thing and the pliability and all that stuff feels to me as important as anything in his life. So I'm not going to tell you it's more important than football. But I feel I see and hear more of him when it relates to TB12, or as much I hear as much of him with TB12 and the institute and the Fakakta, you know, method, as I do the team.
He's got his hands in a lot of cookie jars now, doesn't he?
Well, really, just two. But I think I don't know. It feels like they're equally important to him. Justin in Dedham, go ahead, Justin.
Yeah. So quickly on the Hall of Fame voting, is it that, you know, Barry and Roger did their thing, you know, in the 80s prior to the steroid era, that they're getting more, you know, more votes than Manny in a lot of ways.
Well, what year did Bonds hit 73?
Oh, it was in the 2000s, wasn't it?
2001? I mean, I don't even know what year it is. It tells you how meaningless that record is that we don't even know what year it is. I mean, 61 and 61 is sort of easy to remember, but you all knew what year Roger Maris hit 61 home run. What year did Barry Bonds hit 73 home runs? Does anyone know? Jimmy, you're a baseball guy. What year did Barry Bonds hit 73 home runs?
02?
I said 01, but we don't know. It shows you how meaningless that is. Oh, how meaningless.
I think Jimmy's right.
And wouldn't you know, didn't we used to know, wasn't Babe Ruth 712? What was the number?
It was 01. Babe Ruth was 714.
Suck on that, Stu. I got it right. 01. Babe Ruth was 714. I do.
Roger Maris was 61. Was 1961. I know, but hosts weren't listening, but you didn't really expound on it. No.
Look,
no.
I could even...
Yes. Yes, Jimmy. It's a good one. Trust me.
I could even tell you that Maguire Sosa was 98. Like, that one I remember. But then after that, it started to get absolutely stupid and silly.
So anyway, Justin, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm sorry. Barry Bonds was right in the heart of the steroid era. He wasn't before the steroid era.
Yeah. So you know, if I can get over to the Garoppolo trade, are we supposed to believe that? Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Okay. Are we supposed to believe that with that kind of commodity and that kind of businessman that Kraft is, that Belichick was pretty much going to give him away and he didn't have to run anything by Kraft on that?
I don't understand the question.
You know, Garoppolo is a great commodity. The reports are that multiple number one picks were on the table. And he didn't have to run anything by Kraft before giving him away for a second-round pick to San Francisco?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Did Bill have to disclose to Robert what the, you know, that he didn't talk to Cleveland, that he didn't, you know, engage other teams? Did he have to disclose all that?
I doubt it.
But, you know, Robert says he was taken aback, which I read as, boy, that's a crappy deal. Like, really? You're going to trade him for a second-round pick like that? And what are you doing? So if Robert was taken aback, why didn't he just say, Bill, hold on to him? That's not a good enough offer. We'll play it out. We'll do it at the end of the year.
Yeah, good question. I wonder that, too.
Did he not do that because he's not allowed to compel Belichick to make moves on the 53-man roster? It's contractually, you know, Bill has control of the 53, so Robert can't mandate it. So he couldn't say don't trade him to San Francisco, just like he didn't specifically say trade him. He just winked and nodded and elbowed him
and said he couldn't do everything else until Bill Belichick only had one other option remaining.
I mean, can you imagine after all this that it got so spiteful that, you know, and I don't know that Kraft did this part of it out of spite, but Kraft basically, you know, made it clear to Belichick in one, some way, shape, or form that he could not part ways with Brady, and as a result, he could not keep Garoppolo, and then spitefully, Belichick traded Garoppolo for something less than he should have gotten because it's not going to affect him in the future, so what does he care? And he does that, and then after all of this, and this occurred to me later in the show, or today, Bill Belichick might get outlived here by Tom Brady. Like, wouldn't that be the irony of ironies? Wouldn't that be Brady giving Belichick the finger? Like, hey, Bill, you drafted my replacement 4 years ago. You drafted him 4 years ago, and guess what? I'm still here. You know who I'm going to beat as my final victory? You. I'm beating you. How do you like that?
Greg in Grafton. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. I just wanted to offer my 2 cents on Bill and Tom. I think that Super Bowl 49 meant more to Bill just because it was kind of like the coaching at the end, and like it was like a Pete Carroll thing. And like I think the Tom Brady thing with Super Bowl 51 was more on his end. So I don't think Bob Kraft had anything to do with that. I think Belichick and Brady are not going anywhere. This is just getting started. Go Pats.
Okay, go Pats. Still can't tell me why they didn't shop Garoppolo and try and maximize the asset. Here's John in Duxbury. Hi, John. Jonathan! Okay, you know, I think it's a perfect opportunity to just shut it right down. I've had enough. How about you?
No, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I think we're done.
Yeah, let's downshift. Yep. That's it. Let's get out of this puppy. Slow it down. Let her cool.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Murray.
Thank you, Jimmy. Typically, Mike does that, but I believe he's indisposed right now.
He's indisposed. I don't know where he is. Maybe he's on the crapper.
All right, so with that, why don't we start off with a recap of the 10-question segment with Greg Bedard.
He's probably stinking up the bathroom, Murray. That's what he's doing.
Boston Sports Journal. Well, he does eat a lot of kale and all that kind of healthy
stuff. Oh, my
God.
Now, so. Please, you imagine what it smells like when he comes out of there?
Goes through him like poop through a goose.
Like grass.
So, recap of 10 questions. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Here we go.
Why are we even discussing it?
I think it's a fun topic.
Okay. I think it's useless.
Is Case Keenum actually a good quarterback?
Yes, he is.
Maybe.
No.
Proceed.
Is Nick Foles a legitimately good quarterback?
No, he's awful.
No.
Thank you. See, that was easier. List the most important positions on the football field.
Running backs.
I don't care anymore.
Would you replace Andy Reid in Kansas City if you were the owner out there?
Hell yeah. Stick a fork in him.
I say no because he's still a really good offensive...
Shut up, Murray.
From the national title game last night, who will be the best NFL player?
Alabama defensive tackle Daron Payne. That dude is a monster.
It's a monster.
No. No, sir. Who is the biggest tool bag left in the NFL playoffs?
You know, Mike, I prayed on this. And it's Ben Roethlisberger.
If the Vikings make the Super Bowl, how big of an advantage, really, is it playing in Minneapolis?
I don't think it is. Just because, you know, I mean... That...
So I would say overblown. Overblown. Okay, number three. I've been saying for a while that the Falcons were psychologically damaged by the Super Bowl last year. Is it possible that I'm wrong and they're actually being fueled by it and it's helping them?
Well, it's... Don't.
Good grief. Is it possible? Yes.
Are you convinced Nick Saban would be a good NFL head coach?
Absolutely.
Do you think that it's a possibility?
I don't care anymore.
Of all the Patriots' home divisional playoff games, who has been the biggest tomato can?
I said the 2005 Jaguars game. They won.
That was a wild card game.
Oh, it was?
Thus concludes the 10 questions with Craig.
This is the best you've sounded in 8.5 years.
I meant to answer my own question on Saban.
Yeah.
I don't think he can be a good NFL coach. You know why?
Why?
He's a clapper.
Oh, he is a clapper.
He claps at people. Dude, don't clap at people in the pros. They don't like being clapped at. These are men who are professionals now. You don't clap at them. But the clappers...
Even
like,
when they were down, he's doing the clapping. Their faces.
He's a clapper. He's a clapper. He's like Rick Pitino. He's like Jason Garrett. Clappers. I know the clappers. I notice the clappers. The clappers don't last in the pros.
You know what it struck me earlier today is that the people like Bedard and Chris Gasper, who like to tell me that Nick Saban is like the second best coach on the planet, also like to tell me that picking the next quarterback of the Patriots, because they let Garoppolo go, is easy. Right? Well, how come, if it's so easy, how come Nick Saban couldn't do it? He had to pick between Culpepper and Drew Brees, and he screwed that up.
That's a good point.
He's too busy clapping. Yeah.
So this just happened in the last segment. I don't think it's fair.
It's totally fair.
Well, here we go. It's another case in which I wasn't listening.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
What year did Bonds hit 73?
Oh, it was in the 2000s, wasn't it?
Was it 2001? I mean, I don't even know what year it is. It tells you how meaningless that record is that we don't even know what year it is. I mean, 61 and 61 is sort of easy to remember, but you all knew what year Roger Maris hit 61 home runs. What year did Barry Bonds hit 73 home runs? Does anyone know? Jimmy, you're a baseball guy. What year did Barry Bonds hit 73 home runs?
02?
I said 01, but we don't know. It shows you how meaningless that is. Oh, how meaningless.
I think Jimmy's right.
And wouldn't you know... Didn't we used to know, wasn't Babe Ruth 712? What was the number?
It was 01. Babe Ruth was 714.
Suck on that, Stu. I got it right. 01. Babe Ruth was 714. I do.
Roger Maris was 61. Was 1961. I know, when hosts weren't listening, but you didn't really expound on it. Don't, no.
Look,
no.
I could even...
Yes. Yes, Jimmy. It's a good one.
I could even tell you that McGuire Sosa...
This has been how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
That's the best part. Jimmy, grab that. That's an example of when hosts aren't listening. I can't. I'm not listening.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.